WZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's been pressuring the Justice Department to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says over the weekend, the president addressed a message on social media to PAM, meaning Attorney General Pam Bondi, in which he wrote, "Something must be done."
Adding, "We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. Justice must be served now." President Trump calling for cases against Democratic Senator Adam Schiff, former FBI Director James Comey, and New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Today, the president's expected to make an announcement on autism, and the Washington Post is reporting the administration will link Tylenol use in pregnancy to autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows the drug is safe. Tens of thousands celebrated the life and work of Charlie Kirk at a memorial for the conservative activist in Arizona. And the UK and Australia said they'll recognize a Palestinian state, angering Israel as the UN General Assembly begins. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers have introduced legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products in Wisconsin. The proposed bill would close a loophole in the 2018 federal farm bill, allowing certain kinds of items like beverages and vapes that contain THC to be sold legally. The group of lawmakers also cited an incident from last October, during which dozens of people became sick after unknowingly consuming THC-contaminated food. The bill would change the technical definition of hemp and ban the sale of items that contain synthetic cannabinoids. A state Senate committee discussed a proposed bill that would extend a waiver to the state's fee for business formation to 18-year-olds in high school. Current state law waives the $130 fee for college students in an effort to encourage young people to become entrepreneurs. The proposed legislation would extend that to 18-year-olds who are currently enrolled in a public, private, or tribal high school, as well as 18-year-olds who are homeschooled. The bill has gained bipartisan support for seeking to foster a new generation of entrepreneurship. The Hayward Community School District will hold its annual budget hearing and meeting today. The meeting will take place in the Hayward High School Auditorium beginning at 5 p.m. School board officials will review the 2025-2026 budget proposal and hear reports from district officials. The meeting will also cover setting the salaries for Board of Education members, providing a school lunch program, authorizing the length of the school year, and discussions about selling some properties that the district no longer needs. Congressman Tom Tiffany has officially reintroduced legislation that would make the Apostle Islands the first national park in Wisconsin. The legislation was originally introduced over the summer, but received pushback from local officials. The Bayfield County Board voted to oppose the proposal, and Bayfield Mayor Ted Doherty said the city was already at its capacity between balancing its existing tourism industry and its need for affordable housing. Congressman Tiffany later said he would address those concerns and reintroduce the bill. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Some good news and bad news. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The good news is, for a third year in a row, the Brewers headed into the playoffs as divisional champs. The bad news is, it'll likely be without starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff, who suffered a lat strain in his upper back.
Obviously, it sucks. This is something that is a side effect of the surgery I had, and it's kind of terrible timing in that sense for, the team. The biggest goal for me was to finish the year healthy.
The crew in San Diego tonight against the Padres. College football, the Badgers now 2-1 after losing to Maryland 27-10 over the weekend. Wisconsin has their bye week, followed by a trip to Ann Arbor to face number 19th ranked Michigan. NFL, the Packers stunned, losing 13-10 to the Browns in Cleveland on a last second field goal.
It's extremely disappointing to be in a position to win the game and to have the script totally flip on you. It's tough to deal with.
As head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible through mid-morning. Otherwise, more clouds than sun, with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Highs right around 70. For tonight, patchy fog developing again, otherwise mostly cloudy, with lows in the lower 50s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning, September 22nd. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2. And we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, by Selena Heller, by Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist, to talk about weather on the day as well. And we have State Senator Kelda Royce joining us 30 minutes from now to talk about her run for governor. And if you missed it earlier, we'll tell you how the Brewers have done on their way to getting that pesky magic number out of the way as Kristen highlights her Brewers jersey for your Central Division champions for the third year in a row. But now it is time. Yep, it's we get to unveil it right here at 7:07 on a Monday morning. Time for the day's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Yes, green and gold, as in cash and jewelry. Here's how to play. The texting is done through the Civic Media app. You're going to look up a station, and you're going to hit the text button that's in there. And for the 7 a.m. hour, you have to text us this hour's keyword before 8 a.m. There will be seven chances to enter throughout the day with different keywords each time. Then of all the day's entries in this multi-state, multi-station game, one lucky winner each day will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. Then one really lucky winner for the whole two-week contest will win this grand prize, two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play some football. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd at noon, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of this grand prize package is more than $1,500. Now, the fine print, because it's the first time we're doing this. Each entry will get a return message giving you a way to earn another entry linked to a specific activity, such as signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Winners will be contacted by Civic Media within 5 business days, first by text. Full contest rules at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/contest-terms. All right, you ready? Here's this hour's keyword to text us before 8 a.m. The keyword is new. N-E-W. New. Text that before 8 a.m. to be part of the Go for the Green and Gold contest. Your next chance to enter will be during the 9 a.m. hour of Matt and Air on Air. 7:09 now as we head over to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It was thunderstormy, keeping some of us from getting a full night's sleep across Wisconsin. But we're now, because it's the first day of fall, I get to use this line. Well, Brittany, it ain't snow yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Okay,
little, it's pretty snow when the leaves
little
fall.
Little victories, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Happy fall almost.
Happy fall, y'all. One of my favorite seasons. Unfortunately, though, we're starting it off a little dark, a little dreary, very foggy in places. Dense fog advisory until 10 a.m. to almost noon in some spots where this thick stuff is going to be hanging around. It's off of Lake Superior right now, also off of Lake Michigan, moving its way a little bit inland there into the Fox Valley. So hard to see. Drive safe this morning. Temperatures are in the mid-50s north to mid-60s south. And highs today will hit the mid-60s north and probably scrape about 80 degrees into areas towards Madison and down south towards the state line. So we've got a blob of rain moving across the state. It's covering Rhinelander, Wausau, into Stevens Point, over to La Crosse, and it's starting to get strong into Tomah, where Motson and Reedsburg, you're now in a severe thunderstorm warning, where you could see winds up to 50 to 60 miles per hour and maybe some hail too. So most of these are not expected to be severe, but there is that chance as this front is just stalled over the states. It's draped from La Crosse all the way pretty much to Sheboygan right now. So a lot of the rain today is going to stay north in the morning. But then this afternoon, after that line moves off to the east, a little tail is going to form in central parts of the state, and that is going to sweep south as we go through this afternoon and evening. So the rain will hit Madison and Milwaukee area later tonight, continuing through the overnight. You could still see some lingering south in the state tomorrow morning before we start to dry out by the afternoon. But up north, you're going to be dry all day tomorrow, and temperatures stay comfortable in those low to mid 70s for the rest of the week, and it looks rather dry too. So after the system passes, it looks brighter ahead. Lots of fall colors popping too.
I was going to say, I hope so, because this system has been especially annoying sitting here as it has the whole weekend. But what it hasn't done is it hasn't like been one of those systems where it blows all the leaves off the trees before you even get a chance for them to change colors and enjoy it.
Right. So, and that's usually the case here for us. So thankfully it often did not.
It often is. So we've still got some time to enjoy this first day of fall. And we've been asking people to share with us, what do they love most about fall in Wisconsin? What is it that they love to do? So again, you can text that through the Civic Media app, or you can put comments on our Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Hey, remember, sign up for all kinds of newsletters here. The Up North News Daily newsletter. There's also my Sunday morning one with a question of the week, where I say, if there is a government shutdown next week, as is quite possible, whose fault will it be? And Civic Media has a new daily newsletter as well, Civic Media Today. Head over to substack.com, civicmediatoday.substack.com, to learn more. Ooh, I let Brittany go before saying good morning from Tigerton from Rob. Cloudy, light rain, 58 degrees over the weekend. Tigerton had 2 inches of rain and some really loud thunderstorms, the first thunderstorms since August 16th, when the old Crossroads Bar in Tigerton burned down. He said yesterday he watched the NFL Today 50th anniversary show, which included original host Brent Musburger and the current NFL Today cast dressed up in the fashions of 1975. Any of you watch that at all?
No.
Did you see it, Parker?
I saw clips of it afterwards, and I was really upset that I didn't watch it.
I did not know that it was coming. You know, the old sets, the old graphics, and yeah, they had like, they pasted on like the cheesy 70s mustaches and things that they
JJ Watt killed it. Him and Ian Eagle looked awesome.
Except, yeah, I mean, he was cracking himself up with how 70s he looked.
Oh yeah.
But it was nice. it was pretty fun. Let's see what else. And of course, Rob says happy fall, y'all, from him as well. And Alicia says it's raining here in Shawano. So we've just got that kind of a day out there today. Again, Kelda Royce is coming up in the next half hour here. I was also going to say, in our Up North News daily newsletter, there's an article in there today about Wisconsin businesses that employ the disabled and make them a good chunk of the workforce. And Selena, that kind of independence is especially, well, it's wonderful compared to generations back when people used to just be, you know, institutionalized or forgotten. And now there's this feeling that, you know, we're about to see a new generation of, you know, Donald Trump's disposable people, because I mean, to him, the people that count the most are the ones who are well off, and he's under the mistaken belief that they are well off because they're somehow better, somehow more essential. They're the ones who deserve help, quote unquote, like tax breaks. And look, for the rest of the political class, they think if you're not doing well, that's on you. Maybe you can live off the benevolence of others. but not through anything done collectively through the government, you know, like Medicaid helping people with disabilities. So Selena's got a report that you can see on her social media that helps put a face on these people that so many people in politics now consider to be disposable. And in this case, we're talking about a young man named Josiah Kreitz Kumal and his mother, Rachel Kreitz. And that's the mom that you talked to all about what the good services are that these programs through Medicaid do.
Yes, we talked for a very long time. She was so passionate. She just she pulled off over the pulled to the side of the road, and she was in her car, and we chatted for a long time. She was on her way back from something. So she says her son Josiah could be the face of Medicaid because by the age of 15, he had completed 14,000 hours of autism intervention services, like therapy, and that was paid for by Medicaid to help him in his challenges. And she says she feels the Trump administration has considered disabled people expendable. And here is Rachel Kreitz from Milwaukee.
We understand that the perception is that my son's life is not of the same value that anybody else's life is. And honestly, cutting Medicaid and devaluing that program has in a very immediate way demonstrated that lack of respect and value for the lives of people with disabilities.
If I sound a little harsh in judging how people who favor these budget cuts view people with disabilities, you can understand. It's kind of rooted in the repeal and replace category. You say you want to repeal something that's costing money you don't want to spend, but there's nothing to really replace it with. And in this case, Selena, what's being repealed is that dignity and sense of independence through the ability to work a job.
Like we might have lost Selena there.
I think so.
And
maybe.
Selena is frozen, so I'll just jump in and say you're right.
Okay, let's hear more. Let's hear more from Rachel Kreitz.
My son, on the other hand, and people with disabilities more generally, are just like you and me. My son wants to work. That is his goal upon graduation. He will tell you he wants to be professional and independent. What's your goal for today, Josiah? What do you want to do at work? I want to be professional and I want to be independent. And he is working very, very hard to be exactly that. But to be it, he requires vocational support. He has a job coach that is paid for through Medicaid. He will show up at work as much as he can. He's currently working three different jobs and he loves it. But if his Medicaid funding is decreased and his job coach doesn't have the funding to work with him, then my son's hours at work will be cut. And if the funding drops down too low and my son loses his job coach, he won't be able to work.
And Kristen, it's not just that Josiah won't be able to work, but chances are he'll need some kind of home health care that he would otherwise be getting through other services, which is going to take parents or other family members out of the workforce as well. Again, short-sighted doesn't nearly begin to explain these Medicaid cuts.
As a society, we have to decide whether we are going to invest in people, regardless of what our challenges are, or if we're going to divest and institutionalize and isolate these folks who have so much to share. And you can hear this mom advocating for her child. And it is true, there are so many of these folks who just don't have a voice, including, hey, I hear you out there, Rob. I know you want to speak up because we've had this conversation. So I really want to encourage disability advocates to use your voices, because this is the time, if you're living with a disability, if you need help, we need your voices to help people understand what's at stake here.
That is Dr. Kristen Lierley. She's going to hang around for our interview with State Senator Kelda Roy's candidate for governor coming up just about 15 minutes from now. And then we'll talk to John and Gordy from our civic media station in Madison in our next hour as well. Jimmy Cuska will give us a little bit of sports, and Jane Matner will tell us what's coming up on her program from 9 to 11. That's all ahead. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH, The Buzz of the North. I'm Greg Gunderson here in Hayward, and here's what's happening in town. Well, this morning, this past weekend, and since last we spoke on Monday. Well, I'm here on WBZH pretty much every morning hanging out with Joel. Sometimes, especially Monday mornings, I'm here with Rachel, my better half, and another contributor to the Civic Media Network. Today, it's just me flying solo today, and I wanted to chat about how much people change and what form that takes. Why? Because it's been what I've been thinking about a lot lately. I am in my early 30s, and I spent a lot of time thinking about, well, I'll be honest, I spent a lot of time thinking about what I would do if I had a time machine. And most of the time, aside from your general sci-fi movie time machine paradoxes, yes, I know, if you had a time machine, it would eliminate the need for one, so you would end up not getting one. I know, time loops and paradoxes. But generally, I will admit, it's one of those, my life is one of those, I wouldn't do it again, but I wouldn't change how it shook out situations. That said, it's really funny the kinds of things that you end up feeling like, you know what, I might actually change that one. Or I might leave that one alone. The major thing is that when opportunities are seized, they multiply. That's a quote that comes, I believe, from Sun Tzu, the philosopher credited with a lot of simple and incredibly good or practical ideas about war. But the thing with Sun Tzu, for anybody who reads the philosophies, whether or not he's actually commenting on war, he often manages to strike the nail right on the head on completely on war topics. Opportunities multiply as you seize them is probably one of them, and it's what I immediately think of when I start thinking of that time machine mentality. Well, not only opportunities, sometimes mistakes, sometimes downsides, as you seize them, as you embrace them. I think if I'm going to talk about downsides and opportunities like that, I've got to kind of clarify what seizing a downside means. I mean, basking in the mindset of failure or in kicking oneself after failure. And that was what I wanted to kind of chat with you about today. I thought, okay, I'm flying solo. We're going to get weird. We're going to get introspective. We're going to show you evidence of how much Rachel improves me as a person. And that, of course, is the topic. How much people change and what changes about them. Then I realized that my path of change might be completely unique. Almost certainly not. Let me just get that out of the way. I know I'm not special like that. But what are the actual chances that another human being could chart their life down the same path? And then I started thinking, well, okay, hold on. How do you chart that path, the broad strokes? And I realized, you know what? It's actually probably pretty decently likely that a person's had at least the same path through the Plinko machine. If you view it that way, it almost sounds like it's possible. Somebody might have lived a life, maybe not the same as mine, but that brings them to the same place. Okay, cool. So if I assume that, what are they doing? Or what did they do at this point in life? And maybe more importantly, what came next? And none of us ever get that. Or do we, of course, the great debate about the scoreboard in the sky. So what am I actually talking about here in the first place? Well, I think the changes that I've gone through in life are especially influenced by where I am physically on the map. Literally, the Northwoods of Wisconsin, I think, have shaped and had a lot to do with who I've become. Not just because of the recreational opportunities and how I've embraced them or how I've skipped them. It's bigger than that. And while I'm not even necessarily sure I can codify it or verbalize it, I think a lot of you probably know what I mean. It first showed up, this idea that the Northwoods is unique and what it does to each person is unique. Or maybe it's just that each person is unique, but I digress. It started really occurring to me when I started having problems with my mental health about 10 years ago. I started having some major depressive tendencies, and I started dealing with my problems in ways that created more. That's a basic truth that takes many forms, but I think, again, a lot of people could probably relate to that. I started dealing with my problems not by fixing them, but by creating more. And it got to a point where it kind of came to a head, and it was clear that I wasn't acting in healthy fashion for me or necessarily even for those around me. And somebody who is incredibly loving and generous and kind, and who it hurt a lot to say, told me, hey, I think you need to get out of here. And not long after I left, I started realizing the truth of that, and it struck me not that the place I was in was actually harming me, but it was perhaps preventing me from correcting that harm. And I think that might be a characteristic that anywhere can really have. And again, am I really talking about the place or more a reflection on myself? It strikes me that every once in a while on these Monday segments, and especially on this incredibly self-reflective solo version, I have a tendency to ramble or wander. Yeah, definitely. That's 100% true. But at the end of the day, I think there might still be value in a person who's spent a lot of time simply thinking about being a person up here, sharing thoughts. Call it a journal, if you will. Maybe a psychiatrist might hear this and think, I should probably give this guy a call. Hey, if that's the case, we could probably work out some kind of appointment schedule. I'm not afraid of therapy. I know how therapy and I get down. And it's, well, we dance together at weddings every couple months. But again, at the end of the day, I think sometimes just showing you what I'm up to, not because I'm special, but because I'm not, might have value. We unspecial people, you know, we've got to celebrate that which actually does make us special, and that's usually the other people around us. So maybe that's all I've got for you today, to say, hey, I've changed a lot in life and found nothing better in every step of the way than the people around me. Maybe you could find some value in that. Maybe I could. Again, maybe this is just therapy. This is definitely WBZH, the Buzz of the North. I'm Greg Gunderson. I'll be back later this hour. Keep your finger on the pulse. Head to the website, WBZH.fm. You can even listen from there. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
We've had an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses due to plenty of rainfall timed during the summer slump. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to be talking with some pasture experts after this.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Jason Cavadini joins us. He's a grazing outreach specialist with the Division of Extension. He says this year has offered some of the best forage growth he's seen in a decade. Even more good news, September and October tend to be the best parts of the pasture's growing season.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. This year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor.
Extension grazing specialist Jason Cavadini says it's crucial to keep grasses and legumes in a leafy growing state, and that means managing mature growth carefully. You can find the full interview at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're always tuned in to what you're listening to. If you missed a big story, don't worry, we've got your back. Here are the top five most listened to stories from this past week. At number five, from $5 to 35,000 mums, the blooming success of Honeymoon Acres. At number four, tips and tricks to keep ticks off your back. Number three, a new bill aims to help beginning farmers find land. At number two, cattle producers are urging folks to speak up against a proposed fee hike. And the number one most listened to story of the week, livestock markets also push back against what they're calling an excessive fee increase. Stick with us for more of the stories that matter most right here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible through mid-morning. Otherwise, more clouds than sun with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Highs right around 70. For tonight, patchy fog developing again. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Nice to have you back here at 7:35 on a Monday morning live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, where this hour we have kicked off a new round of our Text to Win contest. This one's called Go for the Green and Gold. There's a green and gold to be won every day. Seven chances to win throughout the day, different keywords each time. Text in those keywords each day of all those entries. Somebody's going to win $200 cash. That's the green. And then there's a gold-plated chain as well. And then of all the entries, all of them out there, one lucky winner is going to win two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, a noon game, plus a gas card to get you there. So before the end of this hour, you've got to text in NEW, N-E-W. Head to the Civic Media app, call up one of the stations, use the text feature, and text in the word NEW. N-E-W. Senator Kelderoys is going to join us in just a moment, but first, with Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well, I asked people at the start of the show, in honor of fall beginning this afternoon, what's so great about fall in Wisconsin? And Jim in Brookfield, I find the change in climate the most enjoyable part of fall. The bright colors on the trees, cooler temps, a lower sun angle make being outside a nice fall experience. I will be outside as much as possible this fall while recovering from knee surgery with coffee and apple crisp. So, fellow knee replacement person, Kristen Lyerly, I think he's got a good idea.
I like your style, Jim.
Especially the apple crisp.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make a visit down to the orchard later today, I think. I love this time of year.
Sherry made a second batch of apple crisp because apparently somebody inhaled the first batch. Possibly the guy she's married to.
Who could that have been?
Who could that have been?
Great for breakfast.
Hey, it's Build a Better Breakfast Month, apple crisp.
That's and it's how Hobbit Day.
Breakfast. Yes,
so you exactly. get to do it twice.
Two breakfasts are great. Here comes Senator Kelderoys joining us as well, candidate for governor for all of 1 week now. Senator, nice to have you here. Good morning.
Great to be with you.
Yeah. So 1 week in, no regrets. You're going to keep going?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been just a wonderful week. The response has been overwhelming, and I think people are really excited about the possibilities of what we can build in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Now, I mean, obviously, we've had you on several times talking about legislative experience and some of the important issues that are out there. So, and even since your announcement, the candidate field has grown even larger. So I wanted to start off by asking something I'm sure you've thought about, knowing there are going to be multiple candidates in the race. What is it about you that's going to set you apart that when this primary is held in August of next year, what are voters ultimately going to see in you that's going to make you the Democratic nominee next year?
We know that when voters are looking at who they want to be their governor, experience really, really matters. And at this point in Wisconsin's history, it matters even more. And that's because in 2026, we are very likely going to have a really narrow window to make big changes in our state, to really recommit to public education and funding our university and early childhood, to addressing the economic harms that have been visited on working people in the middle class, to make healthcare affordable and accessible. But if we're gonna do that, we're gonna have a very narrow legislative majority, or maybe we'll have a split legislature. We have to have a governor who knows how to get things done in that difficult legislative environment and is ready to go on day one. That's me. If you look at my career of over 20 years, I have been able to make big progressive changes on a whole range of challenging issues like reproductive rights, healthcare, criminal justice reform, in these various types of legislative environments. And I think that length of time, that record of making change as an advocate, legislator, attorney, small business owner, I think that really sets me apart.
I hear you making sure that you hit both sides of what you would call, I don't know, the electability question, both for the primary and in the general election, in that there has to be a desire to go bold on issues if Democrats, especially if they have a trifecta with the Assembly and the Senate. But if they don't, there also has to be the side of the equation in the general election of being able to get things done. And you believe that you can be the best of both worlds when you go through a primary campaign.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at the different types of work that I have done as an attorney, small business owner, and as a legislative leader for about 10 years, you can see that I have been able to work across the aisle on important issues like expanding access to healthcare and helping nurse practitioners be more available for folks in rural and urban communities. But I've also really been a champion on issues that matter a lot to Democratic primary voters, like reproductive freedom, like public education, like childcare and paid family leave. And those issues, I think, are going to be broadly popular in the overall electorate, but they're also going to be very important, I think, for Democratic primary voters when they're looking at the field and saying, who do I think not just agrees with me on the issue, but actually has a plan and knows how to get it done and has the experience to thread that narrow, you know, that small needle and get things passed quickly, because we know Republicans have dominated the legislature for 30 of the last 32 years. They've controlled at least one house and they have blocked so much progress. So when we have a narrow window, whether it's a Republican assembly, but only by a seat or two, or a Democratic assembly only by a seat or two, we need a governor that can effectively herd that legislature and get things done.
You are in Madison, where people are engaged. They're paying attention. They kind of like talking about politics. I'm in Green Bay, where people are exhausted, and they tend to be a little bit more connected to just putting food on their table and some of the basic economic issues. How do you message to folks outside of places like Madison and Milwaukee, where people really don't love what's happening with politics, but still are struggling with so much of the fallout from the political decisions that are being made?
Yeah, I think it's really important to connect those dots for people about why working people have been working harder than ever. We're more productive, and yet it's getting harder and harder to make ends meet. And that's not just because of rising prices, it's also because wages have been really, really stagnant. You know, Wisconsin's minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. It hasn't been raised in my adult life. And that is so unacceptable. And you can see how worker power has diminished over time. And so helping people sort of see that the fact that they are struggling or they're not living and thriving in the way that they should be, given how hard they're working, and that it's not your fault. It is the system by design to try to make the wealthiest even wealthier. And I'm talking about billionaires and big corporations who are not paying their fair share. And that's, by the way, also why your kid's school is being defunded and you're having to constantly vote to raise your own property taxes to keep the lights on. So when I'm traveling around the state, and this is not new for me, I mean, I have spent my career working to build Democratic power, working to make change. After law school, I was the head of a statewide reproductive rights organization. And I traveled around the state and talked about really challenging personal issues, right? Abortion rights, sex education, reproduction, with people. And I just think if you sit down and listen to people and truly hear them, you can build connections, even with people who might initially disagree or be disengaged. And I think that political work is really, really important. And that's what I have spent my life doing. You know, I'm not someone who sits in a Madison bubble. I have always traveled around the state. I have knocked doors in most of the Senate districts in the state. I have helped to flip the Supreme Court, not by focusing on Madison and on Dane County, but by traveling around the state to these swing areas that I knew it was going to be really important. And I think that commitment to really being a governor for the entire state of Wisconsin is important.
We are talking to State Senator Kelda Royce about her run for governor. And Kelda, you can put on your legislator hat as well on this one, because we are now in the fall session of the legislature. And with the state budget being done, we turn to other bills that are out there. Republicans have put together a package of bills dealing with education. Democrats put together a package dealing with education. And there seems to be pretty clear differences between the packages and how they prioritize educating our kids and being fair to our taxpayers.
That's right. I mean, the Republicans straight up said that what they're looking at for our schools is school closures, it's consolidation, and it's continued underfunding and privatization. And I think that's really offensive, because every kid in Wisconsin, it is their birthright to get a good public education. And it shouldn't matter who you are, where you're from, you know, the zip code you're in, how much money your parents have. The quality of your education should not be contingent on those things. Democrats believe that public education is essential for every student, and that we have to make sure that our students and teachers have what they need to succeed. Money is a part of it. I mean, you can't do it without money, and our kids have not had even an inflationary increase in our schools for 15 years. But it's not just money, right? It's also about making sure that students and teachers are equipped to succeed. And so that's things like getting distractions out of the classroom, making sure that teachers have adequate professional development time. We don't expect firefighters and police officers to buy their own equipment. And we have all kinds of programs to help people get the training that they need. But for teachers, you know, we're happy to just make them pay out of pocket and take their own personal time to do it. And I think, that's one of the things that's contributing to the teacher retention crisis, in addition to obviously the changes that were made in Act 10 that have made it very, very difficult for teachers in the classroom.
As the mom of a public school teacher, yes. That is also entirely true. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to shift to something a little bit more personal. You have a whole pack of kids. I have a whole pack of kids.
And yes, we do.
Yes. I mean, together we've got teams, like we could compete.
Yes.
And when you listen to your kids, like they inform so much of the stuff that I do, because they're paying attention and they and their friends have ideas about the future that they want to see. How do your children, how does your family inform you as you are moving forward in this really, I mean, this is an incredible thing that you're doing, and it's very challenging. So how do your kids see this and help you on your path?
Well, I'm just really lucky, because my kids are very supportive. I have two young adult stepdaughters that have been in my life and have helped to raise since they were 4 and 7. And one recently graduated from college and is interested in environmental science and research. So she's, you know, she and I talk a lot about all different kinds of political issues, and she helps me keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in college campuses and how to engage young people. And then my oldest stepdaughter is actually an ICU nurse. And so we talk a lot about obviously healthcare and what it's like for that healthcare workforce. You know, we talked about how teachers are have been squeezed, but boy, our healthcare workforce is really being run ragged as well. So figure out how we get more young people in that healthcare pipeline and how we can retain the healthcare workers that we have. And then I've got three little ones that are 11, 7, and 4. So I have childcare and early childhood, and you know, seeing the incredible work that our childcare educators do to get kids ready for school, to help them learn how to solve their problems without biting or hitting, you know, to teach kids how to put their snow boots on.
To the legislature too, by the way.
Sorry.
Tell that to some of the legislators too.
Because
it sounds like there's kids in the backseat bickering sometimes to hear things from the other side of the aisle. Learn more at keldaforgov.com. Head over to Facebook and Instagram at Kelda Royce is the handle there. State Senator Kelda Royce, always great to connect. Safe travel. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back in our next hour, we will be talking about Madison Matters with our civic media friends, John and Gordy. Jimmy Cuska has an update with sports as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You've been listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Greg Gunderson flying solo today. Here's what's happening in Hayward. More specifically, here's what's happening in the studio here on my phone, where I have finally won my first fantasy matchup. I am here. Let me backtrack. I'm so excited today, folks, because I can't. Oh, it's my first win of the fantasy season, and it came over Joel Karnick. It was perfect. We were both winless. You hear me hanging out with Joel here on the Buzz of the North every weekday morning, pretty much, with the exception of Monday. And so, you know, we like to give it to each other a little bit when it comes to sports info. We'll be chatting about sports tomorrow morning, specifically, call it Greeple Tuesday. Well, it's going to be full of me giving Joel a lot of guff. That is for sure. I actually have a snapshot here in front of me that I'm looking at on my phone. It's from about 12 hours ago, basically. It was from kind of the beginning of the Sunday night game. And of course, there is a Monday night game tonight that does have some bearing on it. But we're in one of those cases where one player on Joel's team would have to break every NFL record for their positional performance to give Joel a shot. But anyway, I digress. I've got a screenshot here from about, well, I'm up by 30 points at about this point 12 hours ago. And I texted Joel, and before I even finished texting him, he was already reverse joking me. Like, I can tell he's building up humor. Just be ready tomorrow morning for a very, for not a meek version of Joel Karnick when we're back here, just the two of us, he and I. But I expect a lot of humble nodding to the ribbing that I give him. He was disproportionately affected by injuries and by subpar performances. Then again, he also, like, let me tell you this. Just remember this tomorrow when Joel is defending himself. I texted Joel, I think it was it Thursday night? It might have been Thursday night or even Friday morning. I texted Joel. I said, hey, your defensive end is out. His defensive end was Alex Highsmith from Pittsburgh. And yes, folks, we're getting pretty football-y today. That's what happens when my better half isn't here. More just griping about my fantasy team. I told him, like, hey, Joel, your fantasy defensive end is out. Alex Highsmith, defensive end for Pittsburgh. They declared him out on, like, Tuesday of last week. So I did him a favor. I didn't want to be going up against a guy who was shorthanded. I told him that Highsmith was out. And what does he say? Thanks. And he goes and he gets Micah Parsons, who, yes, is a bit of a world beater, this weekend's performance notwithstanding, who is one of the best defensive ends in the league, but doesn't necessarily produce hugely when it comes to fantasy, because he doesn't get huge tackles in the run fit, and he hasn't been generating but 1.5 sacks, I think, this season. Anyway, again, I digress. That's also going to happen more. So he goes in and he gets Parsons, and I thought, cool, he's happy, he's got Micah Parsons. I love Micah Parsons. He's a Packer. But he's going to do badly. And what do you know? At least fantasy-wise, he did pretty badly. What did Parsons have? 4 points from 2 total tackles. I'm sitting here with Aiden Hutchinson, who's yet to play this evening, hoping Aiden can figure out his stuff and keep the upward trend. But Joel's got James Conner, who had 22 yards before he went down. And he's got Mike Evans as a wide receiver. And I thought, oh no, because I kept seeing Mike get a touchdown or two. Was it 2 touchdowns? 1 touchdown. But here's the thing. I have Baker Mayfield. So every time Mike Evans scored, and I don't know if Joel's noticed this yet. This is something we're going to be chatting about tomorrow. I'm going to be like, hey, Joel, you noticed that your best hope, the guy who led your team for points, holy cow, that's actually true. Mike Evans is his top scoring offensive player outside of Jalen Hurts. 4 total TDs for, it's Jalen Hurts. That's always going to happen. But one player cannot carry a team. I had Baker. I had Kenneth Walker III up there out of Seattle. And I can't gloat yet because who does Joel have? Joel's got Brian Branch. That's who Joel is going to have hanging out. Brian Branch will be his one player yet to play. And I've got Jake Bates. And so if Brian Branch scores a defensive touchdown, I at least get the extra point. You know, like, it's just, it can't happen. Unless Brian Branch single-handedly wins every single aspect of the Lions game for Detroit tomorrow, I'm good. I'm going to be gloating over Joel. Or I'm setting up the single most meteoric comeback for Karnick going into that game, 30 points. How's your fantasy team going? I'll say it. I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't bring it up. I'll bring it up. We auto-drafted here. So full disclosure, I didn't make this pick. We auto-drafted, and my third round pick, I think, was Tyreek Hill. And of course, we're sitting where we are with that whole mess. So I just dropped him. I thought, nope, bye. One of the saving graces of how our fantasy league is set up is that it's one running back, one receiver, and then one flex that could be either. It's a running back receiver flex. Theoretically, we probably could allow a tight end to do that, but with 12 people, can somebody start a tight end farm? We need enough fantasy quality tight ends. I got Brock Bowers, but Geno Smith is not having a good time. So I'm actually going to see if I can post on WBZH's Facebook page. I believe I can. I'm going to post a poll over there with about a 5-question format about how your fantasy football season is going. Right now, I am staring down the barrel of my first win, 1-2. I will be dancing all over Joel Karnick tomorrow morning right here on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, where you've been listening to the local report about my fantasy team. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Things are going to get weird if I don't have Rachel here with me. She'll be back with me next Monday, though. Carry the buzz wherever you go, now, then, and all the way in between on the smartphone with the Civic Media app, free on the App Store or on Google Play. Or, of course, on our website, wbzh.fm. It's a pretty sweet system. Online, smartphone. Why can't smartphones just play radio? I suspect the answer has a lot to do with the law and perhaps a little to do with money. Either way, for WBZH and Civic Media, I'm Greg Gunderson.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's continued to pressure Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says he's already made changes within the Justice Department.
President Trump just days ago forced out a top federal prosecutor whose office did not find any evidence to back up allegations that New York Attorney General Letitia James committed mortgage fraud after months of investigating.
President's going to nominate his former defense attorney, Lindsey Halligan, as U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. She has no experience as a prosecutor. The Washington Post reports the president's going to announce a link today between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. The U.K. among the countries to announce recognition of a Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls this an absurd award for terrorism, expected to be a major topic at the U.N. General Assembly, which begins today. This is ABC.